Okay, so welcome to the sixth Pocket Gamer. Sixth, is that right?
It is.
Good. The sixth Pocket Gamer audio podcast. I'm your host, Rob Hearn. With me today are Fraser McInnes.
Hello.
As ever. And also special guest, Stuart Dredge.
Hello.
Hello. Stu, everybody will already have heard of Stu, of course, he's famous. Chris James isn't with us today. He's having an operation, so that's why he can't be with us. Some would say it's a cosmetic procedure, but I don't know. Anyway.
Is he really having an operation?
No, I don't know where he is. I was just trying to create a rumour.
That's good.
No, I think he might be at the he's at the MEM conference in London. Networking with the cream of the mobile entertainment industry.
It's networking.
So,
he loves networking, Chris, doesn't he?
He does.
It's always networking.
He's like a router.
Yeah, sometimes he tries to make me network, but it doesn't work. So Chris isn't with us, but Stu is. But it's good that Stu is, because he's up on the things we're going to be talking about today, such as iPhone 3.0 and the iPhone 3GS. Before we get onto them, let's talk about some other kind of news nuggets, like, for example, Mass Effect Galaxy coming out today on the App Store. Have either of you had any kind of contact with this game? Probably not, I wouldn't have thought. But
no.
Tracy played it at EA, didn't he? At E3.
Yeah, that's about the extent of my knowledge of it, was Tracy's hands-on, in which he gave it a pretty scathing going over, from what I remember. Well, not necessarily scathing, but I think the overall impression was that raised eyebrows, and certainly people were a bit worried that it wasn't going to be very good based on what they'd played. And so I think Tracy was one of those people. But yeah, so
yeah.
That set alarm bells were ringing early on.
Here's some quotes from his preview. Tilting to move through static top-down stages filled with unremarkable enemies does nothing to relay the sophistication of this imaginative universe. So that's not very good. Well, the review will be coming soon anyway, along with all kinds of other coverage, because it's a famous game. But yeah, it seemed like such an enormous game. It's almost a surprise that they even attempted to bring it to iPhone, really. It doesn't lend itself, from my point of view, to the iPhone.
Yeah.
There you are.
It's funny, BioWare, in that they're one of those sort of hugely respected developers, and every time they announce a new game, the whole industry kind of starts getting excited and, you know, sweaty palms and all the rest of it. But they haven't really done terribly well on handheld so far. Like that game on the DS, the Sonic one, everyone was quite excited about it, and then it turned out to be just sort of all right. It wasn't up to their usual standards, you know?
Yeah, I remember that. I played that at Leipzig. I thought it was quite... It was very Sonic-y, I thought. Sonic supposed to run fast and bash into things. You know, it didn't make sense that he was wandering around talking to people.
Yeah. The crappiest part of Sonic is the story, generally, isn't it? They've tried to bring any sort of narrative into any of the Sonic games, it's usually been pretty rubbish.
Yeah. So what else is coming? Yeah. Castle of Magic is coming to the App Store. That's a Game Loft platformer that's very good. So that's something that everyone can look forward to. Any other new interesting games coming? Carry on, Stu.
No, well, Jungle Blocks came out today, which is Digital Chocolate's sort of latest iPhone game. So it's kind of a follow-up to Tower Blocks, although it's a different kind of game structure.
Okay, so how's it different?
Well, you have sort of... Every level has a bunch of blocks arranged, and you have a jewel on top, and you have to destroy blocks by making them explode and make the jewel drop to the bottom of the plinth and grab it in as few moves as possible, with monkeys sort of running around. So it's kind of not the same thing as Tower Blocks, where you're dropping blocks on top of each other. It's quite interesting. It's like one of those kind of casual, very easy to grasp games that looks like it could be really fun.
Yeah. Monkeys in games as well. It's any game, if you just put a monkey in it, that really does make it better.
Yeah.
On every level.
It's good because the other thing, and this is an important game feature, is if you do it in a certain number of moves, you get a gold medal, and a certain amount you get silver and bronze. If you get a gold medal, the little monkey picks up the jewel and sort of starts spinning around to music, and it makes me unfeasibly happy.
All developers should know that if ever you're going to put a monkey in any of your games, it automatically gets 1 point higher on our review score than a game that doesn't include monkeys. So yeah. Mass Effect developers, BioWare, add monkeys. and in an update.
Space monkeys, space chimps, of course. Which is a good game. I'm just looking through. There's something that Stu wrote before I met Stu when I was a Pocket Gamer reader about a game that came out years ago, and it was and the press release that came out. It was a European company. It's quite often the press releases from them are really funny because they're not translated terribly well. And it was the press release said something like probably the best monkey action on your mobile. And in Stu's news story of it, I remember he'd written, when somebody says a game is probably the best monkey action on your mobile, I sit up and listen. And I thought that was quite funny.
Yeah.
But it was even funnier originally. That my version of it wasn't very good. But anyway, there you go. Well done, Stu. That made me laugh back in the day. And the other news thing we're going to talk about before we move on to all the sci-fi stuff is this Otoy technology, which it seems to me is like the Volley technology that I was reading about a year ago that kind of streams PC games onto mobile. Stu, I guess you probably know more about this than me. How does that?
Well, I know a little bit about the PC ones of these things. I mean, there's like a big buzz around them, I think, at the moment. On this idea of playing rich 3D console or PC games on a server and effectively just streaming the graphics to your living room, and then you control it back. So you don't need this super expensive console to do all the processing. It's all done remotely. So there's this Otoy thing. There's also something called OnLive, and there's another one. And the whole buzz around them is, you know, are these things going to make consoles redundant? Because all you need is a fast broadband connection and some kind of box to decode it. But yeah, so someone's shown it. The fact that these things can run on any browser, which includes on phones. So in theory, it means that a big server somewhere is running a console game, and you can then be playing it on your phone with your phone controls and just streaming the graphics over the thing. So it's quite intriguing. Yeah. Although I'm not sure. It's a bit too early to say how much it will cost, who's going to do it, whether you can control a console game with a mobile joypad and so on. It's kind of lots of questions.
It's lots of things about. I mean, if it's purely about performance, then I think what the games industry over the last couple of years, since the Wii really, has shown is that performance isn't all that important really. It's not like we need games to be massively powerful. It's a casual revolution, isn't it? So, you know, I suppose if it's even the slightest bit fiddly or expensive, I think it's going to struggle. But it's definitely, it's interesting technology.
Didn't Apple just get a huge amount of money given to them from some funding body or other, or maybe it's from their own pockets, I'm not sure, to build an enormous server farm out in California?
Well, a lot of these things are going towards, I mean, this kind of cloud thing is the big buzzword, isn't it, at the moment? Whether it's music, so, you know, people aren't going to own music, they're going to stream it from Spotify, or people aren't going to buy a console that will stream their games and so on. It's kind of this whole thing of people who own these big server farms are kind of going to be running a lot of the entertainment for us, is a theory.
Yeah.
But then what happens if they burn down? Then all our games will die.
You've
seen what happens, how catastrophic it is when Google or Hotmail Hotmail laterally and recently, if Google Gmail goes down, it's just, that's the end of life. Everyone just shuts down and just goes to the garden and drinks tea and says, well, that's it, my working life is over.
Yeah, it's true. Whenever the Gmail servers go down, I automatically just assume that that's a carte blanche for me to just take the rest of the day off and just forget that I exist, pretty much.
Yeah. It's weird because at the same time, sort of things like tube strikes now aren't an excuse to take the day off because you can work from home. So you have to rely on Gmail to get you a day's go. About this Otoy thing, I wonder if it's more interesting for mobile if people are making mobile games that stream to phones. So as a way of playing really rich mobile games on lesser handsets, or playing really enormous iPhone games without having to download a gigabyte file to your iPhone.
Yeah, but it sidesteps a lot of the technical hurdles on mobile that aren't necessarily such a big problem in the home space. So it's maybe more appealing in a handheld sense.
Yeah, but playing Grand Theft Auto on a phone, I think it's just not going to work because it's designed for a joypad PC first. Which is, you know, I think this idea of you can play Grand Theft Auto on your phone is a great headline. But it's actually not that appealing on the console side.
Okay, well, let's... Okay, we've talked about all that other stuff. It's rubbish, it's boring. What we really want to talk about... Sorry to the people involved in those other stories, by the way. I didn't mean that. But what we really want to talk about is the iPhone. I'm just looking at the front page of Pocket Gamer at the moment. And recently we've put this thing on the site where it tells you what the popular stories are. It kind of automatically takes from the system what the most popular stories are and says what they are on the site. It's top five format. And they are 10 reasons gamers should be excited about iPhone 3.0. iPhone 3.0 update will allow re-download of apps. Developers hail 3GS gaming capabilities. AT&T not so excited about the iPhone 3GS. And O2 confirms iPhone 3.0 releases this evening. So that's what it's all about, isn't it? This last week and this week as well. It's the two bombs that Apple dropped on us during the week. Stu was in the blast radius of both, so he's going to be talking a lot for the next 10 minutes or so. So first off, what's the 3GS like, Stuart?
Okay, well, I got one on Friday, alongside the rest of the world. The big thing at the launch was the essence of speed, and that's definitely true. I mean, in terms of the processor and stuff, everything is much faster. Sort of working in Safari is much faster, firing up apps is much faster, looking around. You feel it, and it is faster in all respects. And I've been playing a lot of my old games because you can just sync them straight across again. And it's amazing. Like, I was playing Field Runners, and it boots up in a flash, and it kind of you're straight into the game within about sort of 30 seconds. And any game, I mean, The Sims 3 is similar. It's like where it was a little bit slow in places loading stuff, it's faster. So in that sense, it's kind of delivered on that score for gaming already. Like even without games that aren't using kind of hardware inside, are still kind of getting faster.
Yeah, you mentioned playing your old games, but they you can't take your saves across, can you? So
I wrote a story saying that you can't take your saves across because I put all mine on and it said it'll start again. But apparently you can restore it from the backup of your old phone, and that apparently might get your saves across. Because when I plugged it into iTunes, it said, do you want to restore from your backup of your old 3G iPhone? And I sort of said, no, I want a new phone. But apparently if you say yes, then you might get your old saves. It seems a bit in doubt. I'm essentially starting every game I've ever bought again.
Either way, I think that Apple definitely needs to come out with something, some sort of... I think that's probably one of the biggest omissions in the gaming side from the 3.0 update, that there isn't a centralised place that you can have your game saved so that you can actually move... it's really appealing to be able to move applications around on the phone so that, you can have however much space it takes up on your computer, you can shuffle them around on the limited space on your iPhone, but it doesn't make much sense to do that if you can't do the same with your saved games. So that's definitely something that I think Apple has missed a trick with the latest update.
It'd be nice if you synced your iPhone to your PC, and then you get this... I'm echoing, that's why.
Yeah, I was listening to it. I thought you'd just become more powerful. I thought you'd leveled up.
It'd be good to sync your scores and have everything. But I was pleased at the fact that I didn't have to think about the apps. It just automatically synced them all over again. There was no kind of, I bought all these games and now they won't work on the new iPhone. So that was a good surprise. There's lots of non-gaming features that have been quite... I've been very impressed by the video and video recording stuff. That's very, very swish. And the camera is a lot better. And it's not just a megapixel, but the autofocus in it and the way you can tap on the screen to focus on people elsewhere in the shot. That's all quite good. The only thing that is causing me a little bit of discomfort is the battery life, because the battery is apparently improved, but I'm finding it's running down quite quickly when I'm playing games, to the point where it's kind of using it as a phone, using it as a gaming device. I'm having to stop playing during the day because I'm thinking my phone won't work by 7 o'clock tonight. So that's something that is I'm going to look into and see kind of what I can do to kind of make the battery life longer, how I can conserve that.
Is it very much worse than the old iPhone? Or is it just the same thing?
I'm noticing it more. Maybe because I've been playing games more in the last few days to test it out. But after the iPhone 3.0 thing came out last week, I thought my last phone was being a bit more battery hungry. So I wonder if it's the software that's being a bit... It's requiring more battery life. I don't know.
Yeah.
Or whether it's doing something in the background with location or Wi-Fi that's causing it to go down faster. But, it's still making a day. But it's the one thing I was thinking, I would really notice it being better battery. But actually, if anything, I'm sort of a bit more concerned about battery life.
It's amazing, isn't it? Still making a day. I remember in the old days, you'd have, you know, I had an old Nokia that it would be every week I'd have to charge it.
Yeah.
But it was because it was black and white, I suppose, and I couldn't play games apart from Snake.
Those still sell for a bomb on eBay. There's that one Nokia phone that worked for about a week, and initially businessmen pay loads of money on eBay for them.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I've got a couple of old handsets kicking around in a sock drawer somewhere that I might have to dig out for that to get a bit of cash on eBay.
I mean, the one thing that hasn't been seen yet with the 3DS is obviously there's no games out yet that are using the graphics processor inside and the OpenGL ES 2.0, which is what developers got very excited about, you know, doing amazing 3D console games. So that's something that'll get proved in time as games come out. But Apple announced today they've sold 1 million 3DSs in its opening weekend.
Yeah.
And so if you're a game developer saying, right, I'm going to do a game that's for the 3DS and maybe, you know, probably still work on older ones, but the bigger appeal will be that. That's your market already, 1 million people. So I think it's going to be, we're going to see some games that make use of the hardware, and that'll be really intriguing.
Yeah.
Is that going to bring the specter of fragmentation to the iPhone? Or do you think they're safe from that? Because in mobile, the fragmentation is a major headache for everybody, like having to make a game work on, you know, hundreds of thousands of different handsets. And so far, Apple have been quite innocent of that. With the 3GS, do you think there's a possibility that that will kind of happen to Apple as well?
Well, I think it brings more fragmentation, but it's still saying, right, we've got 20 million old iPhones, 1 million 3GSs, 14 million iPod Touches. You know, they're all kind of, it's worth spending the time to do it. It's not like you're developing for 2,500 different handsets, some of which never sell any games, which is the problem in mobile. Okay. So it's more of an issue, but I asked a lot of developers about it, Pokemon.biz last week, and none of them seemed that fussed. They were all like, well, it's worth it, you know, and as long as we can, I think the thing is as long as we can charge enough for our games that we're creating that use the hardware, and as long as we can make sure people see them and find them, that's more the issue of can we make money from it than the fragmentation, I think.
It's funny, this fragmentation issue, because my initial reaction to the fact that the 3GS was going to be more powerful was, oh, this is going to be kind of one of Apple's first missteps with the iPhone, because it's going to basically alienate a large group of people that are going to not be able to buy certain games on the App Store after a certain point when the developers have had a chance to roll out some games that make use of the 3GS's features. But I think that, again, is just another example of where my initial reaction has been a somewhat unreasonable one, because Apple has given us all quite unreasonable expectations of what we should get from our handheld consoles. Because back in the old days of mobile gaming, if we can even call it that, you know, phones are being outclassed every month, and there's games that wouldn't work on phones constantly. So for it to happen once a year isn't really such a big problem from the consumer end either, really.
It's almost like I'm unsure whether it's like a PC thing or a console thing. So the console, every 5 years or so, there's a new console that comes out, and you sort of, do you buy a new console or not? Whereas in PC, there's that thing of kind of every year, suddenly you realize a new game's come out that runs on your PC, but it's a bit slower.
Yeah.
And for me, it used to be Football Manager or Championship Manager when you sort of realized that you couldn't run all the leagues you wanted to, so you had to upgrade your PC. And I think it'll probably be like that. I think because it seems to be that lots of people, if anything, at the start, they won't be releasing a game only for 3GS and not for older iPhones. It's more that you'll get the nice kind of graphical effects, and you'll get the kind of the oomph if you've got a new model, but you'll still get the game on your own.
You turn the settings up to 11.
Yeah, and if you're a developer, I think you're used to that kind of issue in the PC market, if anything, where you know that people are going to be accessing it on multiple kinds of levels of thing. So I think I don't think see games coming out for one, not for a little while. But it's, if you're Apple, it's kind of a good incentive for people to upgrade if they suddenly realise, you know, they could be getting this game faster or nicer on the 3GS.
Yeah,
so I wouldn't think they'd be disappointed by that.
Yeah, I want one.
Yeah,
I've never really wanted an iPhone. I've got an iPod Touch, and up until now, I've never really wanted an iPhone. But the 3GS is the one that's kind of switched the button in my head that's made me say, I need one.
But yeah, no, so good. I would say the iPhone 3.0 update is essential, and it's a pain you have to pay for it in iPod Touch. But even so, I think it's going to be, for gaming, it's going to be vital to have it. And 3GS is more, if you don't have an iPhone or thinking of getting one, grab one now. And if not, if you're thinking about grading, maybe just wait till the time's right for you.
Okay, so you mentioned the 3.0 update. We're going to rush through this so we can move on to our other exciting parts of the show. But the iPhone 3.0 update allows push notification and microtransactions. Those are the big things, aren't they? So microtransactions means that you can buy kind of items in-game, which is better news for developers than gamers, really. And the push notifications means that people who are good at games can, you know, you can get messages from them saying, I've just beaten your score. You idiot. Why don't you come and try and beat me? Is that... That about sums it up, doesn't it?
Oh, that's a bit... Well, microtransactions is really controversial, as you picked up on there. I mean, I think it's just a tool, and it will be abused, but also it could be used really well. And I think we're going to see both sides. So this idea of a game that's very cheap, but then you buy other stuff. In some places it really appeals. On Facebook games, people love it. In kind of MMOs, in certain parts of it, people love it. I mean, there is a real kind of people are happy to pay for stuff in game if they feel that it's extra and it's worth it. But if they feel like they're getting part of the game and then being told to pay more, they get very angry. And that's the kind of two sides of a very sort of thin line that developers have on the iPhone.
Yeah. I think it's also about what the price is. What the App Store has shown me, I think, over the last few weeks, is that I'll buy anything if it's 59p. It doesn't have to be good. Literally anything. Someone could come to my door with a bag, and I wouldn't know what's in it, and he could say 59p, and I'd go, yeah, all right then. I think that's the key as well. It's not just about how worthwhile the content is. I mean, I suppose over time, with competition, it will become how worthwhile content is, but really, I think Apple, what they've done really well is sell a lot of things at a very cheap price, and we've shown that that's a retail model that works quite well, because people just don't hesitate to spend 59p. And if it's not good, they're not disappointed.
Yeah. I mean, I think the interesting thing that's been seen elsewhere is if you make people buy stuff to finish a game, if you make them buy that particular gun to be able to have a chance of competing in a first-person shooter, they will feel angry and cheated because they want the full game they've paid for. But actually, it's often the personalization stuff. It's often the, I can buy this hat that my character can wear and other gamers can see me. And on Facebook, there's games like Pet Society and Restaurant City where you can spend real money to kind of kit your restaurant out or kit your pet out, and apartment things. People so often think that sounds ridiculous. I wouldn't pay to have virtual items for a character, but actually that's what people love to do, because it's not. It's kind of you're customizing, and that's what you're paying for. You're not paying for a game element. You're paying for how people see you, and it's like buying a T-shirt in the real world, or more comparable to that.
Yeah.
So I absolutely understand.
I was just going to quickly say, I think any sort of backlash to this is going to be quite short-lived. I mean, again, my initial reaction to microtransactions was, oh my God, this is, the sky is falling, the iPhone is doomed kind of thing. And it was a slightly histrionic response because really, I mean, the iPhone as it has been, again, this is just another example of it being too good to be true up until now. I can't think of any other platform where we would have expected to receive quite so much free content. We would never have expected to get The Lost and the Damned on Xbox Live Arcade for free just for having bought Grand Theft Auto. And I think the same is going to... People will come to accept that of the iPhone market very quickly as well. They'll happily pay for that extra content, as you said, if they think it's worth it. You know, whether that's new levels or customization or whatever.
In a weird way, I think people sort of... Like, Rolando is a good example where you've got loads of extra levels and updates in recent months for free. And that's marvellous. But actually, I think people love Rolando enough that they would pay for extra levels. But it's interesting now that the kind of, like you say, that this kind of precedent's been set on iPhone where you expect to get updates with extra stuff. And suddenly, if you're charging for it, it might be a bump back to Earth. And that's almost the kind of... the interesting issue to see how people react to it.
That's the problem, is because we've had it too good now, really, that you can't really step backwards on this without causing a certain amount of upset, no matter how reasonable it is to take that step. for the, from a business point of view. Yeah.
To a certain extent, I think. But if the updates are 50 MP, as I said before, I don't think it would be too much of a problem, because psychologically it's just not significant.
Yeah.
I don't think. But the going back to what you said very briefly, Stu, before about people buying clothes in games, it is understandable, because in Second Life, of course, the first kind of real life flesh and blood millionaire to have been created by Second Life was someone who was just creating clothes for other people in Second Life, for their avatars to wear. Mm. And from doing that, she made $1 million. So, yeah, obviously it is lucrative.
Yeah. I mean, the Sims 3 is quite a good example, because they're going to do microtransactions, I believe. But I wonder if that will work. Because if I'm playing The Sims 3 on iPhone and it's a one-player solo game and I can spend real money to get a virtual sofa, that doesn't really appeal to me. It's only if it becomes an online experience where my friends can visit my apartment and it can be hugely pimped out that I might pay for stuff. And it's an interesting line that they live, if I will pay loads of money in small amounts so I can show off to my friends or strangers. But if
what does that say about you, Stu?
I know, well, that's it. But if it's a case of me playing alone, unless I feel like I'm getting extra levels and things, it's a really fascinating area.
Yeah,
but then push notifications is interesting too.
That's the thing. I would only spend money to make sure my friends were having a good time.
Aww.
So anyway, but that's just me.
I think push is really interesting too, but there's probably a lot to say about that. But I mean, the idea of games being able to communicate you, even stuff like there's an update, or stuff like your friend has beaten your score, or stuff like there's this new event that's happened in the game, or even things like Carjack Streets, where the game is based around real world, real life time. You could get 7 days to pay back £50, and you might get a message on the Thursday saying, by the way, you've got this much to pay.
Yeah,
I think that's going to be
a text message from a gangster, basically. But
I mean, it sounds quite basic, but I think push, there'll be really interesting ways to use this that haven't really been talked about much yet, and I don't quite know what they are, but I think it's a dark horse. It could be a really big feature for gaming.
Yeah,
I think so. I think it's a big deal. Okay, well, that's the iPhone. So basically, to everyone who's listening, download 3.0 software if you haven't already, and if you don't already own an iPhone, buy an iPhone 3GS. Okay, let's delve into the rumor mine, shall we?
Rumor. Rumor.
Okay. That artlessly as it was is our jingle for the rumor mine.
That's the highlight.
Yeah,
I think of every podcast.
Yeah.
Okay, so what have we got? We've got two rumors today. I'll give the first one, which is that Gameloft may be bringing Tom Clancy's GRAW, Ghost Recon Advanced Warfare, to Gameloft. It's a rumor, and this basically comes out of the fact that Gameloft and Ubisoft are both run by somebody called Guillemot, and these two men are brothers. Is it Guillemot or Guillemot?
Guillemot.
Oh, sounds French, yes. But yeah.
Guillemot.
Guillemot, isn't it?
The Guillemot brothers, who respectively own Gameloft and Ubisoft, are always kind of working together on things. And Terminator Salvation came out recently, and it's possible that Ghost Recon, Advanced Warfighter, and also possibly Splinter Cell might come out on an iPhone. It's purely a rumor, just based on an interview that AppGamer had with Julian Stocker of Gameloft. So there you go. That's a rumor. Those games might come out on iPhone.
Great.
Excited?
Licenses, great games.
Mm. Yeah. Well, I don't know. Splinter Cell. What Splinter Cell makes me think is of Metal Gear Solid Touch, because they're similar in some ways. They're about incredibly hard men sneaking around like wimps, slitting people's throats, and using gadgets. And Metal Gear Solid Touch was actually, I don't know if I can guess, but I think pretty disappointing. Is that fair to say?
I think it certainly didn't meet people's expectations. I think it was a good game, but just not a Metal Gear Solid game. It wasn't what people expected, I think it was treated a bit harshly because it wasn't a creepy round, slitty kind of men like whips game. as you say.
Slitty throaty. I'm up.
So I think if Splinter Cell does come, it needs to be in the spirit of Splinter Cell.
Well, yeah, presumably if they're going to be making use of that engine, then it would be a kind of all singing, all dancing, 3D third-person action game with all sorts of wimpy sneaking around in the shadows action. If Metal Gear Solid Touch had used a different engine, maybe then it would have been as well. But it was obviously very much, it was playing it safe, really, you know, rather than... Whereas the Terminator Salvation engine is quite a sort of robust 3D thing, is it not?
I didn't play that game.
I saw the trailer. I didn't play it either, but I saw the trailer, and despite the fact I couldn't be less excited about the film, the game did look mighty impressive, certainly. It looked like a sort of natural evolution for Game Loft from Brothers in Arms.
I don't like the whole... This is a bit of a sidetrack, but I don't really like the whole premise of Terminator Salvation. I don't like the way they're just milking... mining bits from the original series, you know. So there were, like, from Terminator 2 especially, there were like little clips from the future where everyone was kind of hiding from these futuristic robots, and they had like clips of the war, and now there's a whole film about the war. I hate when franchises get like that.
It doesn't really do anything to push the narrative forward at all, does it? It's just a kind of explosions special effects fest, basically, isn't it? With Christian Bale being moody and gravelly.
Have you heard that clip of him shouting at the guy? You know, he does it in an American accent.
Yeah, his transcontinental diphthongs are slightly confusing, aren't they?
But he's this English guy. He's, all right, I'm Christian Bale. But then when this guy walks in front of his eye line, obviously he's trying to stay in character, and he's going, "What are you doing, you asshole?" Just, the whole thing's really funny and embarrassing.
I think if you're saying that many F words, it sounds better in American anyway.
Yeah.
I suppose it's a more
or F bombs, as they call them.
It's a better language for bellicosity. But I was
what
listening.
Are you, captain of the Alliteration Society?
Yeah. I've got the dictionary here. I haven't had a chance to deploy it yet. I was watching an interview with Christian Bale. I think just on BBC News, and the guy who was interviewing him said, "Have you learned any lessons about, from your outburst and the publicity it received?" And Christian Bale said, "Yeah, don't wear those little... If I'm going to do it, take that little microphone off that I have on my collar." No remorse.
No remorse. So. He's pretty much stopped, the human race being overthrown by evil robots. So he can pretty much say whatever he wants.
You're right, and dragons in his time.
And dragons, yeah, that's that too.
Joker. So, anyway, yeah. So that's that rumor. Some games might be coming out on iPhone, or they might not. Mm-hmm. Exciting stuff. Stu, you've got a rumor.
Yeah, more an industry rumor, really. Well, it's not a rumor actually. It's like the company concern started it. So it's EA gave an interview sort of last week, talking about how they have huge regard for social games companies on Facebook, and they mentioned Playfish as one example, who has the biggest rating for iPhone and so on. And he was saying, we have huge regard for them. We're in investment mode. We'll be announcing deals with companies that will be of note sometime in the near future. Essentially, EA is saying, we're going to buy someone to get big in social gaming, which could have a knock-on effect on iPhone. It may mean that more of its iPhone games get things like Facebook Connect and linking with your social networks. So it's kind of a self-started rumor there. But the ironic thing is, the guy who said that in an interview left a few days later to join a social games publisher. So I'm not sure quite what's going on. Maybe he couldn't wait. So that would be quite interesting if EA bought a social... Because they've got this game Anytime Pool on iPhone, which links in with Facebook. But otherwise, their stuff tends to be quite self-contained. But it would be really interesting to see more social elements coming to their stuff. You can imagine, what could you do with linking FIFA to Facebook on mobile? So on.
Yeah. It's the future. Social gaming, isn't it? That's what I hear.
I think it's part of everyone's stuff. You know, every company will have social elements to its gaming, rather than there being special social games and everything else.
Yeah, it's like Facebook has done a very good job of just sort of very quietly branding social gaming on the iPhone. Almost every game that has any sort of social ambitions these days has got Facebook Connect integration built into it somewhere along the line. And it's just becoming part of the furniture of iPhone gaming in such a way that there's not really any, there's no, it's they're there to stay now, pretty much, really, it seems. You know, that's going to be the standard for sharing scores.
And Twitter as well, I think.
And Twitter is coming in. Yeah, that as well.
So people like Angie Merkel letting you brag about your scores on Twitter, it's really, it's very, it seems very simple at the moment, but I think that could be more powerful as well.
Yeah, definitely.
EA should buy Twitter, actually. That would be interesting.
Ooh.
That is a real one.
But yeah, that's started with...
They got big pots of cash. No, yeah.
I think they could afford it. Twitter, apparently, although it's very popular amongst the people that do use it, its user numbers aren't as huge as you might expect, I read the other day, because it tends to be slightly niche in that it's a lot of bloggers use it, and a lot of people that work in online journalism use it and whatnot, and people who are trying to use it to drive traffic, but it doesn't have that same uptake with just the general public the way that something like Facebook does.
It's true. I think that actually it's a media tool, because most people I speak to outside our job or the media, like more broadly the media, don't use it, and they're kind of slightly bewildered by it, and they know that Stephen Fry and Jonathan Rush use it, but obviously Stephen Fry and Jonathan Rush are also both members of the media, and it's kind of, I actually wouldn't use Twitter if I weren't in the media. I don't think. I do like on Facebook, you know, when people update. I understand the reason for its existence, because I do think that's the most interesting thing about Facebook is people's status updates. So it's a very clever idea, but I'm not a contributor to that, really. I don't tend to change my Facebook status very much. So yeah, it is quite a media tool. It's self-perpetuating thing, but because the media are the ones responsible for saying how whether or not it's popular, I suppose the perception of it is always going to be that it's more popular than it possibly is.
I think
the celebrities will have an effect. I mean, like in the US, Oprah did a show about how great Twitter was with Ashton Kutcher and so on, and that apparently sign-ups went through the roof that day. And over here, you've got people like Jonathan Ross, Stephen Fry, Philip Schofield, apparently a Twitter addict, and you know he's talked about that on This Morning. So that could be the next growth thing for it, is people getting into it to follow what these celebrities are saying, and then realizing they can use it too. And I think that, like you say, that might open it out beyond all the kind of geeks and media people who already got it.
Okay, very good. Let's so as ever we're running over. So let's very quickly talk about what we've been playing this week. Stu, you can start then. Well, how long have you got, Stu?
Sounds like someone's playing the lawnmower in the background there.
Yeah, I'm playing my lawnmower this morning. So yeah, very quickly, I might jump off then because I have to go and do.
Yeah, that's fine.
But yes. I've been playing. I've gone back to Field Runners actually, because someone said that I was wrong about my original review on the site, and my original review was written before the game got any updates, and it's got loads since. So I've been back and playing that. I've been really getting into that again. I've been playing Star Defense as well, the NG Mocha game. So lots of tower defense games. I wasn't sure about Star Defense at first, but now I'm getting much more into it. Especially now I'm playing through all the levels again that I had to unlock. I did the new iPhone.
How does Star Defense compare to Field Runners? I actually really like Field Runners.
Yeah, it's interesting. I didn't like it at first because it's very linear, Star Defense. Like, there's one path and they all run along it and you only go either side. Whereas Field Runners, you construct your own wiggly mazes, you know, to kill all these enemies. But no, I like it. I love the social aspects to it, which are kind of obviously different to Field Runners. So the Twitter stuff and the Facebook stuff. And I sort of like, I'm not sure about the having to rotate around planets still. That's a bit, I like seeing everything on the screen and casting an eye over my kind of tower defense empire. But no, what else are we playing? I've been playing Real Racing still, although I've got to this point where I'm finding it quite hard to get any further in the career mode. I've got a bit rubbish. And I'm playing My Brute as well, and I'm kind of building up a character there. And I thought I was really amazing for a while, and I logged on yesterday and got beaten by everyone. So I'm kind of... I'm at that point of realising you're not very good at something and possibly losing interest. But I really like what they've done with the game. So yeah. And also Underworld. I discovered suddenly that Underworld, that game about drugs, is made it onto the App Store last month.
Did it really? Is it about drugs? Is it fully
it's not about drugs. You buy sweets and tin and things now that aren't drugs. But it's the same game, and you find places to deal these things in your local area. And so I've just literally got that today, and I'm having a look at that, and that's quite intriguing. But it snuck out. I don't remember reading much about it. I mean, obviously, we didn't cover it, but I remember reading it elsewhere that this game that had been kind of banned by Apple months ago and was in the sun for being disgusting has kind of retweaked itself and snuck out.
Perhaps the developers are feeling a little bit sheepish about kind of giving in, because they were quite determined not to alter the game too drastically. So now the fact that they've given it a major serious reskin, they're maybe just wanting to not be too vocal about it.
That's
about me.
Okay, well, that sounds good. Okay, well, Stu, do you want to jump off and...
I am interested in what you guys are playing, so I shall listen to the podcast afterwards. I don't want to see you if I'm not.
Okay. Like everybody else does. Join the other 2 million odd.
yeah, get with it, Stu, honestly.
Damn, it's thanks for coming on.
That's all right. Sorry to ramble for most of the thing. I'll let you guys have some words there. And I'll talk to you later.
Cheerio,
Stu. So, who's going next? You or me?
Oof, right. How many games have you been playing?
One.
More than one? One. We've got one each.
We've got one each. Let's hope it's not the same one.
Tell you what, why don't you go first, and then I'll go, and then, because then you're going to talk after me about other stuff.
Okay, cool. Well, I have actually been playing more than one game, but in terms of new games that I've been playing that I haven't mentioned on the podcast before, I've been playing an absolutely awesome game. Called FAST, which stands for Fleet Air Superiority Training, and it's basically a sort of it's a dogfighting game where you take control of hugely expensive weapons of war to take to the skies to blow other hugely expensive weapons of war out of the sky, and it handles beautifully with great accelerometer controls. But the thing that I'm most impressed with is that you could genuinely forget that you're playing an iPhone game when you're playing it. It looks so good. The visuals are a bar setter for me. It's got really... I mean, it's one of those genres where if you get certain aspects of it right, then you don't really need to demand an awful lot. It's not like you need a lot of scenery and things like this, but it's just so carefully balanced, and there's just so many subtly applied effects, like reflections on the ocean and of sunlight, and really nicely implemented lens flare from when you're flying towards the sun and whatnot, and the clouds and whatnot they don't seem like those horrible 2D clouds that just hang in there. They actually seem like particle bodies of mist hanging in there, and the explosions are impressive, and it's just really, really good in terms of how it looks. And there's also, again, which is the big push on iPhone gaming just now, massive amounts of online fun to be had, in that I think really the core of this game is its online modes. There's a one-on-one and a two-on-two online mode, and a Bluetooth mode so that you can play against people in the same room as you, and you can even create little rooms so that you can have essentially your own lobby that you can invite friends into. And it's got all the usual Facebook Connect stuff as well for, you know, uploading your global ranking as a pilot and whatnot, and it's just really, really, really good and really well executed. So, thumbs up to FAST from me. That's what I've been playing.
It looks good. I'm just in the system now. This review, as we're talking, hasn't gone live on the site yet. But so I won't reveal the score. Although I think I think people can probably gather that it's going to be positive. But yeah, the screenshots, they are amazing. I can second Fraser's statements there. So that looks good. Dogfighting.
Dogfighting, yeah. It sounds a lot more sort of unethical than it actually is. Although I suppose you couldn't really claim that blowing people up is any more ethical than forcing dogs to fight one another.
In some ways it's just as bad, isn't it?
Yeah.
Pitch it, human. Human against human.
Yeah.
Okay, well that sounds good. I look forward to that. I might even download it.
I highly recommend that you do. It's very good.
Yeah. This week I downloaded, it's an old game, but it's a good one, called Let's Golf.
Which is from Game Love,
an old golf game. But yeah, I thought it was really good. I really, really like golf games. And I feel I'm a sort of frustrated golfer because my left eye doesn't see very well, and it affects my depth perception. And this, I think that's the reason why I can't play golf in real life. But I think I would really like it. I regret enormously the fact that I can't play golf. So I love golf computer games.
Yeah,
it's like meditation. You just kind of wander around. And Let's Golf is a very good golf game. Actually, the graphics are very good, and it all just works perfectly well. One thing I like about it a lot is that it doesn't contain any kind of silly accelerometer or touchscreen mechanics for swinging.
Okay.
Because I've never felt that worked very well. You know, to me, the best golf game I've ever made is still MicroProse Golf on the Amiga, which is a really kind of primitive polygon game. And since then, you know, like I'll play Tiger Woods or something on the 360, and you take a shot by kind of like swinging the control stick back and then hitting it forward, or there are all these PC ones where you kind of made a circle with the mouse. I think it's overly elaborate. I think it doesn't work as well as just pressing the button once and pressing it again.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you there, actually. For a golf game, that particular little design conundrum has been solved long ago. We don't need to solve it again.
Yeah,
I think so. Fix it.
Yeah. And I applaud the developers of Let's Golf.
We're obviously very articulate journalists with, you know, an armoury of vocabulary at our disposal, but sometimes when you're being recorded, words fail you.
We're like rabbits.
Yeah, exactly.
Like rabbits in the flats.
Yeah.
I couldn't think of the word accost the other day. I was going to my girlfriend, what's that word? It means the same as importune. And she was like, I don't know. Accost. I've got a really funny anecdote about my inability to remember the word articulate, actually. I won't say it on this podcast, but it's a very good one.
The punchline's pretty much in the title there. That's good.
Oh, but so much more to it, because it doesn't just involve me, it also involves a good friend of mine who now in fact lives in Germany, in Hamburg.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so maybe as a treat in a future podcast, I will tell the story of articulate.
If there's ever a really horrendous section of dead air, we can have a sort of prompt. If we can have that as our last resort anecdote.
To, deploy the anecdote.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so we've talked about what we've been playing. So let's head for the finish line now.
Sure.
By talking about some community features.
Yes, so I suppose the first thing to announce is that this podcast is now going to become the launching pad, essentially, for a new community-based feature where everyone has the opportunity to win a £5 iTunes gift voucher every week. I say everyone, but what I mean is one person of the lot of you will have the opportunity to win a £5 iTunes gift voucher.
Everybody has the opportunity. Only one person will actually get it.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. That's right. Exactly. Yeah.
Any confusion?
Yeah. So basically, there's going to be a story going live on the main site today about that, to explain the competition rules and whatnot. But the idea, in a nutshell, is that you comment on either the main site or the forums via a registered Pocket Gamer account. So you need to sign up and give your email address over and whatnot. And then when you want to comment, you need to sign into the site with your username and password. And then basically we're going to pick the wittiest, funniest, most interesting, most insightful, or just basically whatever criteria that we fancy judging things on a particular day. So we're going to pick the best post, essentially, and award the person that made the post the £5 iTunes gift voucher. And we're going to announce that winner, first of all, on the podcast on a Monday. So basically you have to tune in if you want to find out if you've won. And we're also going to follow up that announcement on a Tuesday with a separate feature that reprints the comment that won in full and also announces the winner. So get commenting. You stand to win a £5 iTunes gift voucher. There's going to be rules, as I say, going up on the site today. So hopefully that will be something that you all respond to with gusto, I'd say. Yeah.
Gusto.
Yeah. yes, and back on competitions, last week we replayed the sound effect from the previous week because we didn't have any correct answers. And we did get a correct answer this week from Kevin Donovan, who wrote in, and the answer was, of course, 1942. The arcade version of that game, which is supposedly coming to the iPhone as well in some shape or form. So it was relevant, obliquely so, but yeah. And we did give lots of massive, massive hints. So, on with next week's. I'm not going to give any I suppose that there's not really any point in concealing hints about this, because the answer is going to be so obvious that I expect my email account is going to be flooded with people rushing to get the answer in first. But this game is old, is going to be my clue. It's old.
How old exactly?
It's old enough to legally drink alcohol in the United Kingdom.
Oh, right.
So that might require a small amount of sleuthing for any of our international readers, but for any UK readers, once you hear this, I'm sure the answer is going to become obvious almost instantly. So I'll play that soundbite for you now. Much loved. I don't want it to end.
No, I can't think of what that would be.
No, me neither.
At all. I'm just frantically chewing my knuckles, trying to work out what that could possibly be, but I can't.
No.
Right. But I'm sure somebody will.
I'm sure. I'm sure more than just one person will. Yeah. It's painfully obvious, but it's a competition, so it's really a competition of speed. Whoever writes in the quickest with their correct answer will win this week's £5 iTunes voucher, which I should point out is completely separate to the £5 iTunes voucher that you can win by commenting on our new feature, I forgot to mention our new feature about commenting is called Quote Stars. So look out for that.
So, Quote Stars being, of course, what you can become if you're featured.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you are this week's quote star, or next week's quote star, should I say, and you also write in with the correct answer to this week's musical competition, then you stand to win £10 in iTunes gift vouchers, although the likelihood of that is quite slim.
So. But yeah, but being a double winner is good. And can they use, say I was a quote star on their CV or anything like that?
Of course. There's a lot of, I expect that by the end of the decade there will be quite a lot of employers make that a mandatory requirement. So, yeah.
Of course, yeah. Like a degree.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Well that's fine then. So yeah, everybody, the competition will be fierce, so do write in. And what's the email address?
The email address to write in with the answer to this week's musical competition is fraser@pocketgamer.co.uk, as always. Or if you even just have any questions to ask about the podcast, or you would like to make some suggestions, you can make them on that address. But an even better place to make suggestions about the podcast, or even to write in with the correct answer if you like, is on the forums in the podcast section, where there should be today a new thread created to accompany the publishing of this podcast, number 6 in terms of audio, or 26 as it will be labelled on the forum, because it's our 26th podcast. So that's where to communicate with us.
Okay. So that's us then.
That's us.
So if you like this, please visit pocketgamer.co.uk, where you can read our various collected writings, our selected works. If you downloaded this from iTunes, please go back there and give us a rating of no less than 5 out of 5, please. Anything less would be, frankly, dishonest and unkind. So please do that. And other than that, I think that's us. Thank you to Stuart Dredge, celebrity blogger, for joining us for most of this podcast. Get well soon, Chris James.
Yes, indeed. And so it's goodbye from me as well.
And it's goodbye from me.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.